Coming up on today's Locked On NHL podcast, the Boston Bruins continue to run through the Eastern Conference, but is every win taking them one step further from the Stanley Cup? I'm Ross Levitan alongside Mike DiStefano, and we have all what you need to know from the Eastern Conference every Wednesday on Locked On NHL. And it's all brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOnNHL and get started today. This is the Locked On NHL podcast. It's your team every day.
Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On NHL your first listen on this Wednesday, January 25th. The show is free and available on all platforms, including on YouTube, where the best way you can help the show grow is to like every video. Just click the thumbs up and make sure you're subscribed to Locked On NHL. It's local experts on the biggest stories. And for your second listen, make sure that you go check out Locked On Canucks, because what is going on with the head coach from Bruce Boudreau to Rick Tocchet? We're actually going to get in to who the next head coach that could be on the hot seat. But first, Mike, as we do each and every week, what's your biggest story? What caught your attention in the Eastern Conference? I know the Bruce Boudreau situation stole headlines across the NHL, but out of the East, I know you're intrigued with the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's the Boston Bruins and how they're just steamrolling through everybody. Like, it's a team that doesn't lose. I mean, they are currently 12 points up on the next best team in the NHL. It's not even a race for the President's Trophy, let alone a divisional or a playoff race. Like, they're 37-5-4. They only have one regulation loss on home ice. But the one stat that I looked at, which to me just speaks to how dominant they truly have been this season, is their goal differential. Plus 81, Ross. Plus 81 goal differential at the midway mark. The next best team in terms of their goal differential is positive 42. Is next best, and that's the Dallas Stars. There's only two teams who have a goal differential better than 40, and that's literally at 40 and 42. And then the next best is the Bruins at plus 81. That's insane.
Yeah, they're playing exceptional hockey. But what's this I hear? That you think the better they do, the less their chance is to win the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, because I'm a man who believes in curses, and I believe in things that trends, I guess you could say. And I mean, if you look at what's happened in the NHL, really ever since they implemented the salary cap, the team who wins the President's Trophy doesn't typically ensure that they're going to have playoff success. The President's Trophy curse is real, and every win they get is one step closer to claiming that President's Trophy. And when you look back on it, it's been almost 10 years. It's been 10 years, actually, since the last President's Trophy team has won the Stanley Cup, 2012-13 Chicago Blackhawks. And only three times since the implementation of the salary cap in 05-06 has a team even reached the Stanley Cup final, let alone win it when they win the President's Trophy. We saw last year the Florida Panthers, they steamrolled a lot, you know, in the regular season, bounced by the Tampa Bay Lightning pretty darn quick. A couple years back when Tampa went and had that unbelievable season where they challenged Detroit for broken records, bounced in four games by the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's a curse that I believe in. I believe in trends. And the Boston Bruins, I mean, they keep steamrolling. They're legitimately probably going to have the President's Trophy, like, clinched. Like, we'll see it. The X or whatever the President's Trophy moniker is on NHL.com standings, probably by the trade deadline. They're that far and away, running away with this thing. And I don't know, man. If you are a believer in the President's Trophy curse, that might not be the best thing for the Boston Bruins and their fan base.
Well, you know what? I'm looking it up right now, and I'm going to spin zone this and say that 2024 Stanley Cup champion Boston Bruins. Could we already say that? Because I see three teams on here. Sorry, two, and could it be three eventually? The Florida Panthers would hope so. But the Colorado Avalanche win the President's Trophy in 2021. They win the Stanley Cup in 2022. The Tampa Bay Lightning in 2019, they win it in 2020. So could it just be a year delayed? But what we do know is that the Boston Bruins already have two President's Trophies this decade, and they're putting on quite the push. Now, I'm seeing a lot of people online say they need one more piece. I'm even seeing people say, find a way to bring the band back together. Get Milan Lucic there, Boston tough guy. You know the fans would absolutely be thrilled with that if they could make money work with Craig Smith maybe and some retained salary. I don't know. But the Bruins right now have about $2.5 million in cap space. Do you think they're going to be active at the deadline?
I keep hearing Bo Horvat's name being linked there, and he's making $5.5 million. He's an expiring deal. I mean, if the Canucks could retain some salary there, they can make it work. The problem is, I don't know what they have in terms of big-time assets to go out and make it a top. What is it? I mean, I guess they have a first-round pick, but.
Well, Fabian Lisell was their first-round pick in 2021. He seems his stock is – he's one of those guys that's going up and up. I think he would be a pretty solid contributor. And what they'll like about him too, any team that would be interested, is he's already playing in the AHL at 20 years old. He's got 21 points in 26 games with Boston's affiliate. So he's not far from being NHL ready, but again, he's not a Bo Horvat either.
No. And you know, that's the thing. It's like, oh, what do they have, I guess, to go out and make that big splash. And, but that's a name that I consistently keep hearing is that talks are intensifying with Bo Horvat and the Boston Bruins. Could they be interested in bringing in a Ryan O'Reilly? Could they be interested in bringing in a bunch of different players that could be out there on trade block? Do they want to get one more defenseman to shore some things up there? I don't know. But, yeah, that's look, in all seriousness, that's a team that I think is going to be pretty damn hard to beat no matter what. They're just incredibly well-balanced. They're getting top-tier goaltending out of Linus Allmark. Even Swayman's been good. Like, he hasn't been Allmark, but he's still been good when he's had to come and play. I mean, obviously you got the big boys up front and Pasternak and Patrice Bergeron. And yeah, so you can look at it right here. Just look how balanced that scoring is. It's just so balanced. You got Krejci, who's operating at near point per game. You got Hampus Lindholm from the back end, putting up some offense. Jake DeBrusk prior to his injury was nearly a point per game. Got 13 goals out of Taylor Hall. You got Zaka, who's contributing, Charlie Coyle, even Nick Foligno, up to 20 points in 47 games. Like, you just look up and down the lineup, and you see production from everybody. They can roll four lines offensively. They've got three decent pairs, three quality pairs defensively, and then the goaltending to boot. So, also, unreal penalty kill, and pretty sure their power play is doing half decent as well. So, this team's just rolling right now. It's scary how good they are.
Yeah, it really is. And you look at potential matchups for them if they do become the number one seed in the Eastern Conference and all signs are pointing to that direction. It is becoming a bit more of a race, at least, in the wild card because the Penguins started winning. The Islanders, the opposite, cannot win a game. They play Ottawa tonight looking for only their second win in what would be 11 games. One win in their last 10. They were just at the ACC last night, Mikey, or should we say Monday night, as we're recording this in the evening on Tuesday here before our Wednesday drop. Every Wednesday, Locked On NHL, by the way. Let's continue this conversation at who some bubble teams are. And then we always have a riser and a faller every Wednesday. Stay Locked On NHL, and we'll get to that and more next. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. We are so excited about our new sports betting partner. It's the FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook. If you're new to FanDuel, even better. They've got many great features that make sports betting fun, easy, and responsibly. New customers, join today and get started with $150 in free bets. Guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. So that's getting $150 free bets when you place a $5 bet. Sounds like a good deal to me. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a bigger chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So, football fans, now's your time. Championship weekend coming up. Place your first $5 bet and get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel. It's the official sportsbook of the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, Mikey, allow me to reintroduce ourselves. That's Mike DiStefano from Locked On Maple Leafs. I'm Ross Levitan from Locked On Senators. You can go follow all 36. I want to say we're up to 36 shows on the NHL channel on Locked On NHL. Local experts on the biggest stories. We cover the NHL draft, the trade deadline, just as good, if not better, than everybody else, because we have the local experts in terms of following this team day in, day out. But you get the passion of fans. No pretending to be unbiased on this channel. You know that you're getting hometown passion of a fan, but the knowledge of an insider is what we're going for here on Locked On NHL. All right. So the wildcard race in itself, Mikey, is one to behold. And we thought, after last year, is it going to be so? There was like a 15-point gap between the final team that made it in the Eastern Conference and the last team here. But now, I mean, I've seen the Pittsburgh Penguins twice last week with them playing the Senators on a home and home. That decor, I think, could use some work, but they were also missing Jeff Petrie and Chris Letang in the first game. And then Petrie came back with Letang still out. He's a game-time decision at Tuesday's game at the time of recording. But right now, they hold that second wildcard spot. However, Mikey, the Buffalo Sabres, for my money, the most fun team to watch. Not always the most, let's say, well-oiled machine, but man, do they have some individual firepower, and they're well-coached with Tony Granato.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that this is one of the teams. Yeah, go ahead.
Don Granato. I think I got the wrong brother.
Yeah, Donnie Granato is the head coach there. Dude, like, this is a team that's full of a bunch of just good hockey players. Like, you know, I don't think they have many true superstars outside of, I think Rasmus Dahlin is working himself into that, and now I think Tage Thompson is there. But then they got a bunch of just solid NHLers, like Alex Tuch is just a solid NHLer. I mean, you can joke all you want about Jeff Skinner and the contract, but the guy's been insanely productive the last couple of seasons, and he's providing offense for this team. They got some young kids, Dylan Cousins, playing some excellent hockey, J.J. Paterka. And on the back end, you know, they've been able to get some good quality defending also. Matthias Samuelson is a pretty good young defenseman. Owen Power, good young former number one overall pick. I just like the nucleus of this team, and I felt that they were ready to maybe compete this year. I don't know if they'll completely finish off, you know, the job and they'll get into a playoff spot. I think goaltending is always going to be a big question mark for them, and until they address that, I'm not sure if I'll ever call them a playoff caliber team quite yet. But I mean, if we're talking about teams who might want to do something at the trade deadline in order to put themselves into that category, I know we don't typically see goaltenders get moved at the deadline, and rarely do we see it turn out to be a success. But I mean,
Cam Talbot? Do you want Cam Talbot?
No, I don't think they want Cam Talbot. No, I do not think they want to go for Cammy Talbot there. But I'm sure there's a couple other teams that might be looking to move a goalie. I think, you know, Semyon Varlamov comes to mind as a goaltender. I think the Islanders they're really crap in the bed right now. We might get into that in a little bit here. But, you know, well, if he's in UFA.
We talked about Arizona, right, with Kirill Vemelka being a good fit there because he has term left on his contract.
That's right. I think that'd be a great fit, actually. I think they had pieces to maybe make a move like that. So I'd be interested to see if they could try and get themselves a goaltender, because if they can, I like their roster better than some of the other rosters that are out there if they can get that goalie. And they're young. And they're up and coming.
I agree with that. This team's only going to get better and better, but they also are at that phase, and we're kind of chomping at the bit at Locked On Senators, talking about how, like, at some point when you have multiple drafts with multiple picks, like Ottawa had 11 picks in the 2020 draft, their fifth is making his NHL debut tonight, Ridly Gregg against the Islanders. Funny enough, that pick was traded from the Islanders to Ottawa for J.G. Pageau, but you have so many prospects you have to make a quantity for quality move. And I think Buffalo's in that situation right now too, where you have like a Peyton Krebs and a JJ Paterka and even Olsen. Yeah, Jack Quinn, but Olsen's a little bit older, but Jack Quinn's right in that mix. Exactly. And then a
couple goals.
Oslund, I think it was from the most recent draft, 2020. They had three first rounders.
They also took They took one of the Finnish kids as well, who was at the World Juniors. Kulich. They took Kulich.
Sorry, Czech, but yes, they took Kulich. That's a great call, right? They have all these young talent, and eventually you're going to be slotted out of forward spots. So make that quantity for quality move while the stock is still high in these prospects. You have to be careful, or else you could be the next team that trades away Philip Forsberg, I think, is a better example. Where
that wasn't really, I don't know. I look at those as different scenarios. That was like, there was still very high praise on Phil Forsberg.
That's the thing, but there's still high praise on those guys. Like Jiří Kulich is coming off an unreal performance, but right. You have to pick the right guy of your prospects to move on for to get that help right away. One guy who's not going anywhere is Alex Tuch, and our good friend Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres. Look at this stat, and this is without the first round picks, and without when you talk about what comes. Jack Eichel. I mean, of course, games played have to do, and that's why our guy Joe doesn't leave any stone unturned, hits him with the points per game as well. Alex Tuch has been slightly more productive than Jack Eichel, let alone the rest of that trade. So I think that tells you as well that this Buffalo Sabres team, and not only that, but Alex Tuch is a Northwestern New Yorker. Like, he has the pride of playing for the Sabres. And that pride is starting to come back, and we saw that with a great moment over the weekend. The Buffalo Sabres retired Ryan Miller's number 30, and instead of the captains coming to center ice, did you see this? The two goalies took the ceremonial face-off. That was awesome, especially, and I know that they did it because Anaheim was his other former team, right? We'll forget about his time in St. Louis. Anaheim and Buffalo. Yeah, Anaheim and LA or Buffalo were where he was most well-known, right? Where he starts, where he finishes.
Yeah.
You can argue Vancouver, but anyways, we can semantics on that. We can say that Ryan Miller is one of the greatest American goalies of all time.
Absolutely.
Well, it just so happened that the two starting goalies in that game were Craig Anderson and John Gibson, two great American goalies as well. So just a really cool moment having them at ceremonial faceoff at center ice.
Yeah, no, completely agree with that one. Absolutely. I think it's nice that, the Sabres, they've gone through a lot of bad hockey over the course of the last decade or so. So for them to finally get in some good hockey, some good players, I think Kevin Adams deserves a lot of credit for how he's built that team, and Don Granato for the way that he's deployed the troops there. And they're a gritty team, and they're young, and they still got a long ways to go, which I think the future is bright in Buffalo. It really, really is, which as a Sens and a Leafs, supporter, that we cover those teams, it's not great news for us and our fan bases, right? That means that there's more competition rolling through the division. But, healthy competition breeds out the best in everybody. So,
yeah, the Atlantic Division's unreal, man. You look at the top three teams, and now Buffalo's scooting in there. Say what you want about Florida, but all of a sudden they've kind of strung together a few wins. I'm not ready to declare that they're back in the race. Although they are 3 points out, they also have three more games played than both Buffalo and Pittsburgh, who are finding themselves ahead in points percentage. But, I mean, they're far from out of it. You can say that. Even the Islanders, despite their really rough stretch recently, I think they're still in the race. Obviously, now I'm going into the wild card, not just the Atlantic Division. But it's great to see the how healthy this league is right now when it comes to good players, and it's providing us with great hockey. Who's up next? Well, that's where we find out from the All-Canadian Prospects game. We had the BioSteel game last week. That's the top USHL players in the draft. And now we're going to get the CHL Top Prospects game. And it even means a little extra to our good friend Mike DiStefano. And we're going to bring up an old clip from Mike's time as were you assistant coach? What was your official title?
Yeah, celebrity assistant coach, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we got a little video coming up from that, and then we'll give you one player each to look forward to, not only in this game, but a guy we're tracking leading up to the NHL draft. And I promise you, we will both not say Connor Bedard.
Fair.
All right, you are Locked On NHL. I'm Ross Levitan alongside Mike DiStefano every Wednesday on Locked On NHL's YouTube channel and wherever you download your audio podcasts. I'm Ross Levitan. You can go find me at Locked On Senators, and Mike DiStefano is at Locked On Maple Leafs, and Mike DiStefano was also at the CHL Prospects game last year. Let's play this clip, and then we're going to go in to actually set it up for us. We'll play it, and then we'll discuss a couple of players in this year's game.
All right. So, you know, with my stuff that I did with Overdrive last year, they had asked the Overdrive crew if they wanted to be special celebrity guests for the All-Star game. They were real coaches, and obviously we're at the top of the food chain there and whatnot, so it wasn't a complete gong show. But myself and former OHLer Jeff O'Neill were on one team, and then Jamie Noodles McLennan, who was a former WHLer, was on another team with Brian Hayes, who played a handful of games in the Ontario League as well. So pre-game, I was told, hey, you're reading the lineup. And I said to myself, well, if I'm reading the lineup, I can't just go out there and be an idiot. I got to energize these boys to try and, you know, get the room going, you know, get the juices flowing in that room ahead of the game. This was the lineup card reveal pregame. Ready?
That's all time. Absolutely great moment. And I mean, guys like Shane Wright, they have you to thank for where they're at in their NHL or their careers right now.
Well, Shane Wright wasn't on my team. We played against Shane Wright. Shane Wright and who else was on their squad? I think Savoy. They had Shane Wright and Matt Savoy last year on their team.
Another Buffalo Sabres prospect that we missed.
That's right. He is. And we beat him. I mean, we beat them. They had the top prospects, but we had the top team. And some say that I may have had something to do with it because we came out on fire. And, you know, I think, you know, it's maybe yeah. I had something to do with it.
We're not saying you didn't. Okay. That's where we'll draw the line.
Yeah. That's what we'll say. I'll say this, though. Like, I went and looked back, like, what the roster was. I mean, you look at the amount of early picks, like top 50 picks in the draft last year that were on my team, like Owen Beck, who went on to win a gold medal. Also Reid Schaefer went on to win a gold medal at the World Junior Championships. Owen Pickering is a first round pick. Matejczyk, Mintyukov, all three of those guys, first round picks in the draft this year. Jagr Furkus ended up being an early pick. Connor Geeky, who you would know very well out in Winnipeg, killing it for the ice in the WHL. He was on my team and was a first round pick. There's a bunch of guys who ended up getting drafted and pretty high in the draft, and I'm hoping go on to have unbelievable success. You know, Tristan Luno is another player who ended up getting picked up early in the second round by the Anaheim Ducks. So I think even Tyler Brennan, who was the starting goaltender that we had, was the last goalie to get cut at the World Junior Selection Camp this past season. So there's a lot of guys, lots of guys who've gone on to have success in the last year since you know they played that game. And I'm really happy for them. And I'll definitely, you know, have a connection with those guys, I guess, for a while. Just and I'll be, you know, tracking them throughout their careers.
Definitely. So we're gonna give a quick shout out to the coaches this year. And I don't know if you know this yet, but each team has a Sedin,
as Daniel
will be taking part.
I did. Trust me, I'm well aware because I was told that I was being replaced. And
you guys have the fraternity.
I guess it made a little bit of sense for them to veer away from Al's brother and the Overdrive boys and go with the Sedin twins, considering the game is in Vancouver. I suppose it makes a little bit of sense. But to all the kids who are going to be out there, and the game will be tonight, actually, on Wednesday, it'll be on TSN. And it's always a good game. It's the top prospects in the entire Canadian Hockey League. Some of the best up-and-coming players for this year's draft. So it should be a good one. It should be a fun game to watch.
And there's always one fight. Two guys who just want to make sure they get onto the score sheet, too. Hey?
Oh, yeah. There could be scrap. I think I was...
I want to say Sean Phaneuf that famously just, like, went wild in the top prospects game. Had a huge hit in a fight.
Biz had a fight. I was talking to one of the coaches that I had that was like my head coach, and he was telling me a funny story about how Biz got into a fight famously at the top prospects game.
With?
Was it Dion?
Dion Phaneuf.
Oh, there it is. So that was the fight. So I was coming at from the other angle. Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah, well, there's a clip on this, so I'm definitely going to be judging that one later. But I want to see the hit that started it. I think Dion threw one of his classic old school hits. Now, a quick guy I want to highlight.
Dion. Did we get the double Dion?
Oh, my God. That was unreal. What a guy. What a player. I feel like as his retirement goes on, he'll be looked at in a brighter, brighter light each time you look back, because he got it tough while he was playing. But he's one of those guys, when you look back, it's like, man, for what he did as like a hard-hitting shutdown defenseman, like he had a pretty freaking good career when it all comes down to it.
But Toronto could use a Dion Phaneuf right now. I'll tell you that for free.
Yep, no question. So I'm going to give you a player. You give me a player to watch. And then we're going to wrap up. Frank Saravalli has reported the All-Star Skills Competition events. We know the classics, the hardest shot, the fastest skater. But what are they going to do to make it Florida? We're going to get into that after. I tell you this. We talk about old school beauties. Radek Bonk's kid is in the top prospects game this year, Mikey. He's a defenseman for the London Knights. Oliver Bonk, almost a point per game player in the OHL. There were rumors that Shane Wright would be a London Knight right now if Oliver Bonk was in the trade. London said, no can do. This guy's too important to us. So that's who I'm going to be keeping my eye on. Oliver, don't call me Radek Bonk.
Love it.
Who do you have?
You know, there's a couple of guys who I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on. I think one who you'd be very familiar with, and I'm curious to see what he looks like tonight, is Zach Benson. Like, yes. Carver Guard's an easy name to throw out there, but I think Zach Benson's another guy who's expected to go high in the draft, a top 10 pick for sure. So, you know, getting a chance to see what he could do in a game like this, see his elite skill kind of come through, that's a guy who I have circled to watch.
Nice. Yeah, I've been – like, last year you mentioned those two elite prospects, Connor Geeky and Matthew Savoy. I went to 5 Winnipeg Ice games last year. Every time I came away saying that Zach Benson was the best player on the team, and he was 16 years old, 5'7". And you're just like, why is this guy so good? The puck's on a string for him. He's got sick vision. Good call on that. All right, Frank Saravalli, go ahead.
He's Tyler Benson's brother, right?
I don't know if they're related. That's a good question. I'll pull that up right now. And if you're watching on YouTube, you've already got Frank Saravalli's reporting right now. No relation to that. He's got a brother named Levi.
All right, well,
who plays at the Yale Hockey Academy. Shout out that. Oh, I took off. I thought I was taking off that. But anyways, Frank Saravalli's reporting the splash shot, which is going to be on a beach in Fort Lauderdale, will be one of the events. The pitch and puck using a hockey and golf onto an island green. So think TPC Sawgrass. I'm sure the players will like that one.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. The pitch and puck one, I don't know. I'm a visual guy. I kind of need to see exactly what they're talking about here. Like, I don't understand. Like, are they using both clubs? Like, what's going on here? Is there any more explanation to this?
No.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see what it looks like then. But yeah, that one seems intriguing to me.
You're going to have to use your theater of the mind for this.
Yeah, one. I don't like using the theater of the mind. I really, really don't like doing that. It was kind of like last year where it was it the blackjack one where I was like, I don't know how they're going to do this.
Yep. And then they're just shooting pucks at a wall.
Yeah, we were like, oh, are they doing this? Does this mean that this is going to, like, we were trying to figure out how they were going to do it. It was like, oh, okay, this was not as fun as we thought it was going to be. But, like, we thought, I don't know what we thought, but, yeah, it wasn't exactly as great an event as we had thought it was going to be. But using golf and hockey sticks / clubs in one, like, I don't know, we'll see. We'll see what that is. Will.
The other one is the Tendi Tandem, which anything using goalies got the A-OK for me. It's involving shooting goalies, and he finalizes his post by saying, Roberto Luongo will be on the ice.
Makes sense. Florida Panthers head of goaltending.
Yeah, they've got like an entire roster of management for their goalies.
Yeah, that's starting to become a thing, though. Toronto's getting into that department. Like, they've got a goalie department now. I think a lot of NHL teams are kind of starting to get into that just because, I don't know, I think the goaltending position is so important, but for some reason it's like the least known thing. Like, nobody knows how to evaluate these guys, so I think they think try and get as many different minds as possible and guys who have been there before, like Roberto Luongo in Toronto. They've got Curtis Sanford, who's a longtime NHL goaltender. You know, it makes sense. And, you know, we'll see if – I guess this becomes a thing in the NHL and becomes more mainstream and widespread.
Absolutely. Next week on Locked On NHL, you and I will have to rehash the second Battle of Ontario game of the season. We'll get into that. But do you have any final thoughts for today?
I do, actually. One final thought to leave you on for how bad the New York Islanders have been of late. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I would say they're out of it. They should start selling off some pieces here. Scott Mayfield, I think, will be an attractive trade target for some teams out there looking for a right shot defenseman with some size and some physicality. But what I will say is there's a stat that really stuck out to me last night when I was watching the game, Leafs and Islanders game. Their power play, 3 for their last 53, with a net power play success percentage of 0.
Wow.
In the last 20 games, they've only scored 3 power play goals, but they've allowed 3 shorties, a net power play of 0.
I mean, it doesn't get much more dire than that. And I'm sure Gil Martin will be all over that on Locked On Islanders. Man, that's tough. Ottawa's got like the opposite problem. Their power play is great, but they can't score on 5-on-5. I guess the Islanders aren't scoring much 5-on-5 either, though.
No, and that's why they've won one game in the last 10. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's brutal. My final thoughts, we spoke about it a lot deeper on Locked On Senators, but we just want to say well wishes. Bob Jones was announced today as the Sens assistant coach. Has been diagnosed with ALS. We know it's like that doesn't get much worse than that when it comes to diseases. Chris Snow going through it right now, the assistant GM for the Calgary Flames. So Bob Jones, he's known about it for the last about 3 weeks, but they've decided to come public because they want to raise awareness and try to find a cure for this awful disease, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. So just wanted to say, Bob Jones, everyone's thinking about you. This guy's been coaching Mikey for the last 27 years. Assistant coach to associate coach to head coach in the OHL. And then he was 1 year on the Texas Stars bench, and he's been with DJ Smith's head coaching lineup in Ottawa the last 4 years. So I know we didn't get into the coaches like we thought we would. Obviously, the Frank Saravalli thing came up. We want to touch on top prospects. We had a great conversation, too, about the Buffalo Sabres and what they could be doing. But I just want to finish the show off mentioning Bob Jones. And just ALS as a whole is just such an awful disease. And it was good to see the ice bucket challenge a few years ago, right? Bringing a bit of
awareness.
Thank you for that. So, and donations too. So yeah, we're thinking about Bob Jones.
Yeah. I mean, here in Toronto, I know a lot of Leaf fans just saw what happened with Boreas Salming, who obviously did eventually fall to the terrible disease of ALS. So, yeah, we're obviously, I think everybody in the hockey circles is definitely going to have Bob Jones in their thoughts going forward as, you know, he tries and battles that disease.
Yeah, if there's one thing I know about the hockey community is that they come together at moments like this and always support their own. And DJ Smith spoke to the media for 7 minutes today, and there were absolutely zero hockey questions, and nor should there be. It was about his friend. It was about a guy who he'd coached with for years, and lots of great stories. And he's not going anywhere either, right? He doesn't want to. I mean, for his mental health more than anything.
He's on the bench. He's going to stick on the bench.
Or he's the eye on the sky. He's the eye in the sky. So he'll be at practice, he'll be around, and then he'll be upstairs during games as he's been relaying information to head coach DJ Smith. But he's kind of like the sounding board in the room. He's the guy that has the relationship with the players and always keeping things loose and helping them with off-ice things. If you are interested in learning more, the Ottawa Senators also posted an interview with Austin Watson today. Now, Austin Watson, we know, had a wild past of being pretty rambunctious coming up. And Bob Jones was one of the guys who helped him in the OHL trying to sort things in his personal life. So it was a pretty heartfelt interview there with Austin Watson. But yeah, we mentioned Chris Snow, and Bob Jones has reached out to him. And basically he has as much support from the organization and from the hockey community as he'll need going through this battle. So just wanted to make sure that it was known there. ALS, absolutely horrible. And if you are able to donate or just have a conversation about that, it does help the future and hopefully eradicating this disease. So there's no kind of clean way to end the show after bad news like that, but we will be back next Wednesday to break down what is a super fun rivalry. And everyone gets into Sens Leafs on the weekend. Ottawa's got Leafs, Habs, Friday, Saturday, Wednesday. So I don't know. Follow on Twitter at Sens Central. I'll probably say something stupid, and we'll leave it at that. For Mike DiStefano, I'm Ross Levitan. This has been the Locked On NHL Podcast, your team every day.